So I just returned yesterday from a trip to the east coast of the United States, and it was with a fisheries group. So did a lot of talking and thinking about aquatic species while I was out there. And one particular species that is frequently associated with the east coast is the Atlantic blue crab. The Atlantic blue crab has a hard exoskeleton, like all arthropods, which keeps it protected from predators and other dangers throughout the course of its life. Otters, fish, sharks, rays, turtles, they all consider this creature a delicious source of food. Some humans do too, but not us, right? The crab's hard shell is a huge asset in helping to keep it protected from these predators. But there's a problem with the armor that it wears. And that problem is that it is not full-sized when it hatches. So it needs to grow, but this hard exoskeleton keeps it constrained. So this obviously this shell is rigid and does not stretch to the right size. Because of this, the blue crab must shed this protective shell 15 to 20 times throughout the course of its life if it lives a full one, and grow a new shell. And that process of growing a new shell takes about 2 to 3 days. Now, during this time, when the crab comes out of its protective home, it's very soft and tender and wrinkly. Without that shell, it is very easy for prey. It is easy prey for those predators looking for a quick meal. This process is called molting, and it is a very dangerous and life-threatening point in its life. But the blue crab has no choice. In order to grow, it must first become extremely vulnerable and choose to put itself in this state. Well, maybe it doesn't choose, but it is forced to biologically. However, there's a clear, targeted payoff for taking this risk of this crab shedding its shell. The result is a larger body that is more ominous or threatening to its predators, but of course it gets a new protective shell. Spiritual growth for you and I is a difficult thing to do as well. If we want to grow, we too must be able to come out of our zone of comfort where we feel protected to try something that contributes to our spiritual growth. Whether it is correcting our wrong behavior or learning something new where we need to build our understanding. Learning itself has always struck me as an interesting process. Learning requires that we admit to ourselves that we are ignorant and have a need to understand. It requires that you completely let your ego go and admit that you are wrong or that you have some place to grow. Improving our behavior, too, requires that we not only admit that we have something to improve on, but take the next step to actually make an improvement on that as well. Now, this process for changing for the sake of our growth invokes fear, discomfort, uncertainty in the hearts of us all. And it should. That is the process of growth. Almost by definition, we must become vulnerable in order to grow. If we choose not to take the chances necessary to grow spiritually, we will not be making the necessary progress to fulfill our ultimate potential. As we know, we are to become perfect. And the only way to become perfect is to continue searching over and over and over and over again, much more than 15 to 20 times, for places where we can grow and do something better. Just as the blue crab must come out of its shell, making itself soft and vulnerable in a threatening environment, we too must go into that state where we become vulnerable by coming out of our shells. Naturally, it is easy very, very easy for us to settle into our habits of competence. If we are good at doing something, if we are used to a certain situation, it's easiest to stay there. Now, if we are comfortable with how things are, if we know what to expect in our lives, and if we have ways of dealing with it, we are in some kind of state of control, right? We know what to expect. We can anticipate how things will be. It gives us a bit of comfort. Intuitively, doing what it takes to maintain that state of control feels easier than giving it up for something that is apparently uncertain and uncomfortable. The ancient Israelites serve for us one of the greatest examples of this process, what it felt like to put a human being, the Israelites, in a state of risk and uncertainty. Israel complained a lot, as we know, when they came out of Egypt. And I want to turn over to Numbers 14 and read verses 1 through 9 to give you some detail. Numbers 14, and I'll read verses 1 through 9. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Let's go back to what we're used to, what we can expect." Even though that was a state of slavery, right? They were comfortable in that environment to some degree because they knew what to expect. And in this environment where they're coming out of Egypt, they feel very uncomfortable. They don't know what to expect. They lack faith. In verse 5, "Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them.'" And this whole scenario is pictured at a time when scouts went out to look at the promised land that God had given to them. A lot of scouts had come back and they said, "This is a bad place, we don't need to go there," but because they were afraid of the uncertainty. They were afraid to take the next step and go into a land where they were not used to. Yet Joshua and Caleb were the only ones who had confidence in God and his promise. They were the only ones who understood that there was a benefit to the risk in taking that next step, following God's commandment to go into the promised land. Now, as we know from the rest of the story, those who did resist God and his commandment to go into the promised land, those who were mentioned here, other than Joshua and Caleb, were punished because they doubted God. That generation was not allowed to enter the promised land. Joshua and Caleb were the only ones allowed to enter. There are consequences if we choose not to grow. We will not grow. We will not achieve our potential. It is a necessity for us to take the step willingly to grow, to come out of our zone of comfort and do what God commands us to do. Now, that is kind of a contrary example where somebody disobeys God and chooses not to grow. Let me turn over to Jeremiah 1, and I'd like to read verses 4 through 9 there. Jeremiah was challenged by God very early in his life to become a prophet. God called him to be a prophet. And how did Jeremiah respond? Jeremiah 1, reading verses 4 through 9. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, 'Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord.'" And we know from the rest of the chapters in Jeremiah that he was able to overcome that fear. But right at this beginning here, we can see the human feelings that Jeremiah had. He doubted himself. He was very uncomfortable being called in this way. How do we feel about our calling? Does it make us uncomfortable to do what God wants, instructs us to do? Knowing that God has given us a standard, a higher level of living. How do we respond to that? Are we willing to follow through with that? Or does it make us uncomfortable to the point of going the other direction? It should make us uncomfortable, but it should also be something we can overcome. Paul serves as another very inspiring example for one who did overcome that fear, just as Jeremiah. Please turn over to Acts 9, and I'd like to read verses 1 through 6. Acts 9, starting in verse 1. And this is all about, at this point, Saul and his conversion. "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, meaning Christians, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' Then the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' In an instant, Saul was willing to make a dramatic change. He asked what he should do. His attitude was one that was willing to take on that change, becoming vulnerable, going into a state of uncertainty. What should I do? Not knowing what the answer is, right? How often do we ask what to do next, knowing that whatever the answer is, we will do it? I tell you what, that is a fearsome thing to do. But something that, as Christians, we must be willing to do in accordance with God's instruction. This is an excellent example demonstrating a willingness to change. And we can read on, if you want to scan down to Acts 9, verse 20 and 22, we can read a little bit of the result here. Acts 9, verse 20, "Immediately he, Paul, preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, 'Is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?' But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ." He increased in his strength because he was able to grow, because he was vulnerable enough to soften his heart and listen to God's instruction and do what was right. I think it's such an inspiring example of a willingness to change. Please turn over to 2 Timothy 3, and I'd like to read verses 16 and 17 there. 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 16, which gives me, gives you, gives all of us some something to grab onto, something that inspires some confidence. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Those words, reproof, correction, instruction, those are all ways of growing. They all require us to be instructable, correctable, vulnerable. Those changes require us to be vulnerable so our hearts are soft and willing to change. We must be open to correction and instruction if we are to improve. Hardness, that hard shell that we become comfortable with, that may protect us from becoming discomforted, but that hardness also prevents us from growing. Now, naturally, we settle into patterns in life where we are comfortable. But it can be a fearsome thing to attempt growth, knowing that we may not succeed. There is a fear inherent in growth. A great tool that we have, that we must rely on, that is kind of implied here, is faith. Faith is our tool if we are to grow. I'd like to read one last scripture in Hebrews 11 and verse 32 through 35. Hebrews 11, starting in verse 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, but that they might obtain a better resurrection. All of the examples stated in this scripture here cite courage. They cite faith. They cite a willingness to be vulnerable, to take a risk for the sake of doing what God instructs. And this is possible through faith. Brethren, there is a great reward to those who can achieve growth using faith as a tool. That better resurrection mentioned here, it awaits you and me if we are willing to faithfully shed the shell that we have protecting us and risk growing our righteousness.